Support for today's episode comes from Dame Products. My friends over at Dame are excited to announce their latest product, at-home STI kits. And each kit is discreetly packaged for a safe experience. All of your orders will be reviewed by a licensed provider at Certified Labs. And your results are shared with you via a secure and private portal. And if there happens to be an abnormal or a positive result, a medical professional will reach out to you. So, you know what we're doing over here at the Boonie Breakdown? We're prioritizing our sexual health and well-being because knowing your status is sexy as fuck. And as a Boonie Breakdown listener, you can receive 10% off your purchase by using the code Boonie10. That's Boonie10, all cap letters. Head on over to Dame.com to get you one now. Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Boonie. And you're listening to the Boonie Breakdown podcast, your source for all things responsible and ratchet. All right, all right, all right. Welcome to this week's episode. It is definitely gloriously responsible and ratchet because I was excited. I'm getting to finish and complete having the Holy Trinity on the Boonie Breakdown because this week our guest is Goddess Rue. I love it. She is a multifaceted entrepreneur and an educator. We talk about her work as being a dom, being a femdom, being an educator, how she got into this space, and how she navigates being a sex worker with being a mother and providing for her kids, and what are her motivating factors. This was a bomb conversation, so you're going to want to stick around. All right? Up next, pick of the week. Now, I got a shout out pick of the week because it was a good moment for my city. Y'all know I'm from Baltimore and I love my city. And CIAA, which is the HBCU basketball tournament, was here in Baltimore this past weekend. And it was my first time going to one. I was part of a planning committee that hosted a party for my Delta chapter. And it was an amazing, great time. The city was amazing. It was great meeting people who came from Jersey, from Charlotte, from Detroit, from Atlanta, who came all over to see what Charm City could offer. And so that's my pick of the week. We had a ball. My ass is too old to be partying like this. But I had a good time. And I look forward to CIAA next year in Baltimore. And if you're listening and you're not here, then I encourage you to put it on your calendar and get your ass to Baltimore next year. All right. It was a good time. Because you know what I had been saying? I was just so impressed. Ladies, you know, when you're going out these days, it's usually overwhelming majority of women at these things. And so to be in a nigga fest, to be in a sausage fest, oh, was a delight. So yeah, pick of the week, CIAA weekend.
Housekeeping. Housekeeping.
Come back later, please.
Housekeeping.
Not now.
All right. So feedback from episode 253, Navigating Reproductive Health with Lisa Hendrickson Jack. I got so many messages from women who were saying how this conversation was timely for them, for some issues that they were dealing with their reproductive health, women's health issues, especially evolving fertility, our menstrual cycles. And so it was a very responsible, timely episode. I encourage you to go back and listen to it. And I'm also encouraging all the fellas to listen to it as well. Because there is a woman in your life who is dealing with some of these issues. And so I think it only makes sense for you to listen, get some understanding, to develop compassion, and figure out how you can support, you know, the women in your life going through with those issues. So go back and run episode 253. Also, there's a bonus episode on Patreon gang. You can head on over to patreon.com/theboonie breakdown. Patreon gang right now is currently reading for book club the Pussy Prayers book. That is our book club selection. I'm going to drop the date for our book club meeting. It will probably be the end of this month. So I'm going to drop that over in Patreon world this week. So head on over, join the gang. If you are new to Patreon, go ahead and make sure you sign up for the Discord. I know there were a lot of people who signed up this week, so I'm going to do shout outs next week. And you know why? Because that is the season finale. Next week is the last episode of season 13, okay? So just one more episode left. So be sure to mark your calendars because it's going to be, I think we have two back-to-back hitters with Goddess Rue and next week's guest. back-to-back hitters, all right? So if this is your first time listening, welcome. Thank you for listening to The Boonie Breakdown. I ask that you follow us on social media at The Boonie Breakdown on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Twitter, you can find us just at Boonie Breakdown. We're on YouTube as well at The Boonie Breakdown. So that is it for me. So let's get ready to break it down. Hey, y'all. So look, this podcast, this episode is a little while in the making, but I'm so happy that Goddess Brew is joining us this week. Hey, girl.
Hey.
Well, I'm sorry. Hey, Goddess. Look, I'm excited because you're completing the trifecta. I've had Mistress Marley. I've had Bria the Goddess.
Yes.
I have Goddess Brew. It's like the whole, it's like the Infinity Stones. This is a big deal. You complete my trifecta. So I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I always ask, how did you find yourself in this space? Like, how did you get into BDSM? How did you know you wanted to be a dom and be Goddess Rue?
Yes. So my journey started few years back, now I'd say about 7 going on 8 years ago, I started my erotic boutique, online erotic boutique, Pleasurable Seductions.
Okay.
You know, about giving like house parties, pleasure parties, teaching all about, you know, self-care through the introduction of toys, things of that nature. Now, one of my parties, you know, a submissive white male approached me and he was like, hey, have you ever thought about dominating a man and, you know, you get paid? So me, pique my interest. I'm like, what you talking about? So, you know, he pretty much explained to me like what he would want and what he was going to pay me for. And literally at the time, that was like the fastest $250 I made ever. So we booked the session and he wanted me to spank him for $250. And initially it was for an hour, but of course you can't spank someone for an entire hour.
Yeah. Physically,
like straining on your body. But that's when I learned humiliation, you know, degradation, things of that nature. And, you know, with my first session, I was like, oh shit, this is it. Like, I could get paid for this. Like, if he paid me $250 for this, what else could I get paid for? You know? And so that just took me down Pandora's, like, took me in Pandora's box. I went down a rabbit hole. And that's when I discovered like Fat Life. And that was like the kinky Facebook. When I got on there, I thought I knew it all. I didn't even have a clue like what I was getting. But what I will say is I realized that it was somewhere that I found a lot of joy and I felt safe and I felt like I was seen and understood. So it was like I was right at home. I'm like, finally, this is what I've been searching for. So, you know, my journey started, like I said, 8 years ago. And it's been
rocking and rolling.
Yeah. I started as just like a, I would say pro dom, because, you know, pro means that you're getting paid for, you know, your domination work and things of that nature. However, it's something that I really enjoy. So after that first session, I did a lot of lifestyle domination.
Okay. Where
learning journey. I wasn't charging for it. You know, I was taking subs, I'll say pro bono, whatever, you know, internship, whatever you want to call it, for the vanillas so they can understand.
Come on, break it down.
Vanillas is people that's not in the lifestyle. You know, we call it vanilla.
And I listen, know. I know they know because I done had this season. They've been like, damn, I thought I was freaky. I'm not freaky.
No. But then actually, so if we want to be technical, they can consider themselves freaky. Because at one point I was like, oh, I'm so freaky. I'm freaky. I like things like this. I like that. But then when I, along my journey, I realized that I'm not just freaky. I'm kinky.
Mm.
Oh, it's the kink aspect that they're probably missing.
Yeah. But
they hold on to that freaky card. They can hold on to
all that right
car.
See, there you go, y'all got your freaky card. But that's the thing. Yeah, I realized like I'm a baby kinkster, right? Like I thought my little, and I'm like, oh, this ain't a damn thing compared to what some people are out here doing.
It get real deep.
It does. Yeah. And like the more I talk to people and learn and see stuff, I'm like, shit, whoo, okay. But then some of it I'll be like, oh
Yes.
I can see how that could work.
Exactly. And I went along that, you know, phase myself as a baby dom or as a baby kinkster, you know, the intro into BDSM, trying to figure it out. I used to be like, yo, what in the world is happening? And it wasn't coming from like a judgmental space.
Exactly. But yeah.
I've never seen this. Like, I couldn't even fathom some of the things that would literally be considered a fetish or a kink, things that people like, and it arouses them. It gives them pleasure. So it was really interesting to me, you know? And realized that you got freaky, you got kinky.
Yeah, I think that's a good distinction. And it's like, yeah, when you hop in that kinky rabbit hole, I think it is a little, I think for some people, it's like a little scary to them, right? Because I think the biggest question that I always get, or especially I had an episode last week, we were talking about knife play, and the lady's like, I pull out the machete, and it's like, what the fuck about a machete is sexy, right? And so I think people start to think, what were you doing, or what happened that you found out that aroused you, right? That was a turn on for you. So it's like, what is happening? And I think people start to build these scenarios and think it's the wildest thing. But like, just her saying it in the episode, I had made the analogy like, oh, you're going to drag it across my nipple? And I'm like, I could feel in my mind, like, I can see how that could work, right? So sometimes it might just be the imagination. And
I'm telling you, it's big. It's a cycle. It starts with your mind first, right? It's very psychological. So a lot of people, they can't wrap their minds around it because they're like, it's not that broad as far as they can't think outside of the box. Like, if this doesn't turn me on, I don't understand how it's turning you on. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people try to put themselves in a space and say, I wonder how that'll make me feel. Rather than just saying like, hey, that's for you. That turns you on. That's your thing. Good for you. A lot of people, they're like, I don't know if I could be sucking on some toes. I don't know if I could be sniffing some armpits. Yeah. That's not for me. But for other people, they love it. And it turns them on, just as like a known kink. You know, people have fat asses, big breasts. You understand what I'm saying? That's more acceptable in the vanilla world. That's normal, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. But
yeah, you know?
It could be, yeah, that's a good point. what is the like craziest thing you've done with a sub, like, or a crazy request that you get? I always ask a dom. All of you always have a different experience of what your sub may make you do or ask you to do, request you to do, pay you to do.
Yes. So I was requested by a sub to perform what would be equivalent to sounding. So sounding is when you use like these metal or cylinder objects, because it doesn't always have to be metal.
Okay.
The slender objects that range in different sizes, and you stick it down, you know, as a vanilla people would say, the penis hole. You stick it down to the urethra of the penis. Like, yeah. And for me, it's a hard limit. I don't like sounding because you do feel the resistance when you're pushing the tool inside the head. You'll feel like resistance even when you use lube. So that was never a thing for me. Like, I can't even watch it, honestly. Right?
Yeah.
This sub, oh no, it gets deep. This sub wanted me to use a wire hanger, and for each inch that I stick in his penis, he was going to pay me $100. I said, yeah, no, that's not for me. I'm not doing that.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm not doing that. That's not
for me.
A wire hanger. And so he was definitely a masochist.
Okay. Because
pain derives pleasure from pain. And even though I'm a sadist, which I like to inflict pain on my submission, not like that.
Like, yeah, that is next level.
I can go so far left, right? And then you're using a wire hanger. I don't know if you got your tetanus shot. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I may hit something along, you know, the lines, because the tools that we use, they're, you know, they're not sharp. You know, they're rounded. and they're safe for a wire hanger has edges and it's just not.
Yeah, that's making me like, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, it was just not for me. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That wasn't for me. That was a hard limit for me. So that was one of like
having your boundaries.
Yeah, no, that was one of the craziest, you know, requests. Even to this day, I would say that's the craziest. Because along your journey, you know, you get more and more requests. You meet different people all the time. And I've gotten some other, you know, crazy requests, but this I still feel for me tops all. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I don't even have a penis. And I'm like, ooh, that hurt. Oh my gosh.
Like it's insane. It's absolutely insane.
I'm still trying to process, like, first of all, when you said put it down the hole, I'm like, a wire hanger, that's so thick.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It was just not
okay. So do you like do this full time or do you have, because I know some of the doms I talk to, like, they've made this their full-time career, they're, you know, and they're rocking and rolling with it. Or do you balance this with some other things that you like to do?
Yes. So I definitely balance this with a few other things that I do. I like to tell people I'm multifaceted. So, you know, I would say I split this up amongst, I'm a central dance teacher as well, so I teach like dance classes, things of that nature. And then also I have my online erotic boutique. That was like first and foremost. So that became like my full-time job. Then when I got a hang of that, where everything was flowing and mixing, that's when I, you know, tapped into the dominatrix. You know, then I'm also teaching online how to get into BDSM, you know, how to step into, you know, what it is that you want to do, what brings you purpose, whether that's in BDSM or outside of that vanilla. Because I teach people, you know, how to become entrepreneurs, because everything for me is not heavily immersed in like BDSM, kinks, okay, that nature. It's a part of my story, but it's not, you know, the full spectrum of who I am and what I do. Then I also host different events. I throw events. One in particular, which I love to talk about, is an erotic pop-up shop where I just bring different business owners that have a hard time pushing their products on social media and online, because we all know you can have the best product.
You can't do it. Yeah.
Knows who you are or what your product is, and you don't know how to sell it or push it, or you don't have money for a PR. All you have is just your perfect products. Can't sell it.
So, and that's the thing too that sucks. Like, online platforms, they target a lot of the sex brands, sex educators, and they limit you, they shadow ban you, they block you, they remove your page. And so it's hard to even use, you can't purchase ads on certain places. So, listen, I've been stuck at the same number, and I don't even like, because I have these conversations and I'm pushing this. Yeah, I've been at the, I don't even worry about growing. I just try not to get the ding so they don't delete my account. But
listen to me, I literally just had to remake content that I had to recreate content that I posted yesterday because they took it down off the page. I said, oh, here we go again. Yep. So I try to edit it and make it PG, as PG as possible, so that they could let my video rock, because I'm trying to teach people and show people what are the kinks and fetishes out here, so they have an idea. You know, they see doms, they see us walking the subs on a leash, and they think, oh wow, y'all, it gets deep. What's taboo for y'all is normal for us. So I'm trying to just bring awareness to what's going on. And it's like, social media, they don't want me to be great. They done took my before. And as you said, like, at this point, I'm not even worrying about growing. I feel like now I have more of an organic like audience, because they're really following me because they like what I do. They're interested in things of that nature, rather than I went viral and people are just following because of that crazy moment. They don't have a clue what's BDSM, what's going on. They don't know if they're coming or they're going. It's just like, this is crazy. This is interesting, you know?
Yeah.
I get more engagement, organic engagement. People really want to know what's going on. People come out to events I'm having, dance classes, things of that nature. So I like the steady growth. I like that. I feel like I have a handle on what's going on. Before, it was like, whoa, these messages. Ooh, what's going on? Where this person came from? Oh, you following me? Oh, you're in the lifestyle? I didn't even know. So I feel like now I kind of have an idea of who's who, what's going on. You understand what I'm saying? People that I should know, because I want to know about the people that's, you know, in the same community as me. I want to know what's going on. I want to be able to support. I don't want it to just be like, oh, that's Goddess Rue, it's all about her. And no, I want to give the same support that people are giving me, because I know I need it, and I needed it and still need it at some point, you know? So I just want to be able to give back to those that give to me, you know?
No, I love that. And it makes sense, right? Like you said about building the community, that is so important, especially in these spaces. And it's a thing I love, right? Because yeah. I saw, you know, first connected with Mistress Marley, and then I found Bria, and then I found you. And so for me, that lends credibility, at least for people I put on my platform, is that I know if they are rocking with a certain group of people, then I know, okay, they're credible. I'm not out here back in a fuck nigga, right? And then people come to me like, Boonie, you put me on. And I'm like, I ain't know. So I do think building that sense of community is so important, even for me, right? Like, I'm not Dom, but I have these conversations and introduce people to you all. It is 1,000% important. So
and we definitely
listen, sometimes some of these people that be reaching out, I done had a few that reached out, and something in my gut was like, I don't know. So I send them like, oh, I'm done booking for this season. I'll keep you on the list for the future. And then weeks later, something, a whole community like, oh, they violated me. I'm like, see, I knew it. So
that don't make no sense. But I it happens. I get it.
Yeah.
But we got to go with our intuition and our gut feeling. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we know, but we just waiting. Information, and that be the time we done got ourselves in trouble, because now you done took time out to record a whole episode, and now you got this person on it that people are saying that they violated, and you like, damn, I can't even air this. Yep. So I gotta platforms.
I'm like, look, I'm gonna trust my gut on that. And two times in particular, I can say, wow, telling them, oh, I'm gonna put you on my list. It's paid off.
Put them on a list.
Listen, they on a list for sure. So I know this is a conversation I'm excited about having with you, because I have not taken this angle yet when I've talked to a Dom. Okay. But so I'm going to ask you this question first. Do you identify as a sex worker?
Yes, I absolutely do.
You do? Okay, check. Yeah. Because I know there's stigma around that. Some people feel away. No. So I do always ask that.
Yeah. Definitely. And I've heard that. And it's definitely, you know, a topic that floats around in the community. Not just BDSM, but also other along the entire sex work platform, right? Yeah. I feel like some people look at it as there's a plateau, or there's like a rank where if you're not engaging in certain sexual acts, you're not a sex worker, right? However, as a dominatrix, because I'm not a part of that, but I've heard some say, well, I'm not having sex with my subs, so I'm not like them. I'm not a sex worker. And I'm like, my love, you are a sex worker. Because just because you don't do certain things with your sub doesn't mean that the spectrum of dominatrix don't. Because you have to also understand, being a dom, it's a title. It comes with a lot of different fetishes and kinks. It's notches. And just because you don't engage in something doesn't mean another dom doesn't. And it doesn't mean that you're any more of a dom than they are. How, you know, like if you go to Europe, it's full service doms there. Like there's some subs that come, you know, to the States and they're like, I want a happy ending. Or I want all of these things. And I'm like, wait, hold up now. I don't do that. Like, I'm not doing that. And I may get offended, but then, you know, when you break it down and you have a conversation with these subs and they're like, you know, no disrespect, where I'm from, this is a part of
their due
offer. And so I have to understand that different parts of the world, when you have the title dominatrix, there's different things that come with that. It's just everyone has their soft limits and hard limits, things that you're willing to do and things that you're absolutely not willing to do at all. So I just had to understand that and open my brain and my mind up to, you know, what's going on around me and what's going on in the world. I can't be closed-minded. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, so yeah. Yeah, absolutely a sex worker. Because guess, even me, I'll peg the hell out of a motherfucker. Don't.
Now, how much do people pay you to peg them?
Okay, so when I started, you know, when I was a baby dom, I would charge about $450. And that was like, what? They give me $450? But now where I am now, I literally charge $1,200 to peg.
And for how long?
Or so I'd book a $1,200 pegging session for an hour.
Okay.
Pegging for an hour. You know, there's things that you
build up.
Warm up. Exactly.
And we're going to do some aftercare. I'm going to peg you and then we'll do aftercare.
Oh, you got to check in on yourself. You got to make sure they're okay. They got to come down off that high. Make sure that they're right to go back into the world. You know? So yeah, $1,200. And then if in that session, humiliation and all those things, that's an addition money. You got
additional services.
Add it up, you know? But yes.
I want to ask you this. Have you ever, in pegging a man, do you get aroused by that? Or are you just strictly focused on, it's about this money and I'm doing a service that someone paid me for?
Yeah. So me personally, I never got turned on by it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's just like, I wouldn't say turned on, but I would say I get a high off of it because I feel like I'm taking like your manhood. You understand what I'm saying? Like I am like now above you. Like I'm owning you. You know what I'm saying? So I get like this chip on my shoulder. Like, I'm going to tear it up. Like, you understand? Like
now I'm going to ask you this. How you learn your stroke? Like, do you have a stroke when you peg it or you just literally be ramming it?
It depends. So in session, I'm playing music. So Sometimes I'm going to the beat of the music. You know what I'm saying? It all depends on what mood I'm in. Then you have some subs that come in and piss you the hell off and you got to ram it in them. You know what I'm saying? But I don't suggest that you do this to everyone. Now, the subs that I do this to, I've sessioned with them before, and I know what they can take and what they can't take. So when I'm ramming them, it's just like, you know, you playing with me. Like, we're not going to play these games.
You're like, oh, I'm God as motherfucking Rue.
Yeah. If I feel like I got to ram it in you, we don't need to have a session because you're not following protocol and you're not following my direction. But yeah, you know, I got a nice little stroke.
Yeah, because I always think about that. I ain't never had no strap on, but I'm just like, how did you learn in that stroke? Okay, so you got a stroke, you ram it sometimes. Got it. That is $1,200 to be pegged. All right, then. So, and I already know, I'm going to ask y'all, because I know y'all listening, and y'all going to be like, Boonie, you didn't ask her. So are your clients... And your subs mostly white or black? Because I always get that question.
Yes. So for me, my clients are mostly white, but I do get black. I get Indian. I get everybody, y'all.
Okay.
But the majority is white men. Yeah.
There you guys go. I asked. So you don't have to DM me and say, Boonie, you didn't ask. I asked.
Okay. Yes. But you get all kind of, even women. I take them all.
And I was going to ask that. That was going to be my next question. Do you have subs that are women? Because I know what the images we're used to seeing, like you said, it's, you know, walking the dogs. It's the white men or some man bonded up and masked up, you know, but we never see promotional materials with doms and women.
Exactly. So that is the truth. You know, you don't really see as much female subs. I do get them. And then also it depends on people's comfortability. Everyone doesn't want to be recorded. And so a lot of the female subs that I get, they're not comfortable being recorded. It's something that they want to keep private. And I have to respect that, you know. So I have a clip up on Twitter and it's me, that woman, and I'm spanking her. And she was also a masochist. Like she wanted me to beat her, like spank the hell. And I was like really giving it to her.
Okay.
But
there we go. Because I just realized, I'm like, I've never, like, I know that happens, but you never really see those clips. It's always women always show men in the clips. And do you charge different rates for women, or is it the same? No. Like if someone went in.
Yep, I charge the same for women. So with the women, I would say I'm just, the only difference with women is I'm more sensual. So I'm sensually sadistic, but for women, I'm a lot sensual. I don't know why. It's like a mother and nurturing type of, you know, sensuality thing. I want to make sure my women are good. I want to make sure I communicate. So depending on what you want, how you want it, I'm going to deliver. However, I definitely am a lot more sensual with women. My ass.
Look at that bias right there.
Yeah, I'm not. You came to me, you want a rough time. And then that's another thing. I've had women out of masochists and they want me to beat the hell out of them. And I don't know. I just check in like, you sure? Because I'm about to give it to you. But yeah, men. Yeah, when they tell me, I'm a unleash, because I feel like it's only but so much damage I can really do, you know?
Okay. So do you guys have safe words? Like when you're in session, you have a safe word?
So safe words are a thing. I know a lot of people watch like the Gray or whatever.
Yeah, that's 50 Shades of Gray. Yeah.
That is a part of BDSM. Yes, you can have a safe word. It is recommended that you have a safe word. However, for me, I do a lot of stuff that you can't hear a submissive speaking. So I have to watch body movements. I have to pay attention to things of that nature. So I'll say like, raise your hand. If they're going to be tied up, you know, shibari rope tied, then I tell them to like flinch or squeal. Something that I can know and hear that they're at their limit or they're getting there. And even outside of that, I'm always paying attention to body movement. So if I hit someone extremely hard and they tense up and they like curl up in a ball, they don't have to tell me that's too much.
You know, okay.
I know. So I'm already going to do my due diligence to kind of slow down, check in, make sure that area is okay. You know, there's just things that you have to look out for. But yeah, safe word is definitely a thing. It's a thing.
A true professional. She just knows. She can see the body. Yeah. I love that. And so we did this. You identify as a sex worker. And one conversation I've never had with, I don't think any sex worker I've talked to on this podcast, where we talked about navigating motherhood and being a sex worker. And so you are a mother. How do you balance this? Like, does your family know what you do? Because I know sometimes it's a secret for some people. Sometimes like, nope, they're all in. They know what I do. They support it. They got me. And so just curious how you balance this.
Yes, definitely. It came with trial and error. My kids don't know that I'm a dominatrix.
Okay.
But they are aware that I sell like adult products, toys, you know, pleasure items, things of that nature. Cause I've had conversations with them. My two old, the young one, she's only five. She doesn't. But, yeah. So I've had conversations with them about that. So they're aware, but being a dominatrix, they don't know. And pretty much I just divvy up my time amongst everything. So my pleasure business, I'm getting packages and all those things together pretty much in the nighttime when my children are asleep. That's when I'm making content. That's when I'm reaching out to subs. My schedule is extremely flexible because I work for myself. Yeah. So I sessions and things of that nature when my kids are in school, when I know that I don't have to be readily available to deal with them. Because when it's mommy time, it's mommy time. I don't play with my kids. I don't bring anything into their space to kind of alter their judgment on life. I want my children to be kids. I want them to live a stress-free life. And so I'm going to provide that at any means necessary, right? So when we're home, when they're in safe space, we're doing homework, you know, they're doing regular house chores, we're having family time, we're watching movies, we're doing projects together, we're baking, all those things, you know. And then throughout the year, I'm making sure that they're traveled really well. So I really divvy up my time. Everything starts and ends with them. I make sure that they are filled with everything that they need to succeed in life, first and foremost. And then I do what I need to do. And they know when it's my time, it's best time. Y'all gotta, don't bother me.
Bye.
I'm not playing. And then, you know, my support system is extremely strong and extremely grounded. And I'm blessed in that area because the weekends, the kids are with, you know, their dad. So the weekend is go time. Whatever it is that I couldn't do during the week, if I had to travel to host, whatever it is that I have to do, that's what I'm scheduling on the weekends. Like my weekends are my time where I can really immerse myself within, you know, my job, BDSM, you know, going to play parties, yeah. You know, in my own, you know, individual parties, things of that nature. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's dope to hear that you're, you know, you're balancing that. I don't know if other sex workers I've had on were parents, but you know, I just thought it was dope that you wanted to have that conversation. No, I take that back. I had one where I've done so many episodes now, but she was a phone sex operator and she did that, like, you know, part time in her spare time. And so she was saying like how she navigates that. She goes, sometimes I'm folding the laundry and I'm taking a call.
Yes, I'm telling you, I absolutely. And a reason why I really wanted to talk about this is because, as I mentioned earlier, I teach and I get a lot of women that's like, well, I have a family and I don't know how I'm going to be able to balance the two, or I have a job. I don't know how I'm going to be able to balance the two. I was working a 9-to-5 as well. I was working Board of Education and I had to figure out do I really want to do? Because, you know, after you finish working your job, you're empowered. You feel amazing. It looks great being a dominatrix, but it's like, I'm so drained. I have nothing else to give. Right. And in this line of work, content is king. You need content because who's going to know you're there? And it has to be consistent. So I tell people, when you're along your journey, or if this is something that you feel like you want to get into, take baby steps, you know, film yourself. Everything is content and anything can be content. You do not have to show your face. Absolutely not. Because when I started, I was a faceless dom. It's not until I left the Board of Ed that I said, you know what? I'm out here. This is who it is. God is rude. Hey. So yeah, you can definitely make money being a faceless dom where you're not showing your face. I used to take videos of myself walking down the street, just my feet walking. And people are responding to it. And at first, I didn't get any hits. I didn't know people were watching. I didn't get any likes. I didn't know what was going on. At one point, I thought it was a lost cause. But surely, it started to pick up. Wow. And I started, hey, just because these people aren't following me doesn't mean that they're not watching. I used to get silent tributes. I still get silent tributes. And sometimes you'll never know who it is. One sub reached out and was like, hey, goddess, I just sent you this. And I'm like, okay, what's your Twitter? What's your page? And I went, he wasn't even following me. He said, because of my work, I'm not able to, or because of my family, I'm not able to. So people
that's a good point.
Comfortable with others knowing what they're into. And that's absolutely fine. So I tell people, especially mothers, people that's in a family dynamic, never be ashamed to, you know, step into, you know, being or becoming a dominatrix. Do the homework, do the work. It's a lot of things that you have to learn, a lot of terminology, a lot of different relationships that comes with being a dom. You know, what type of dynamic do you want to have? You know, what do you want to do? What are your hard limits? What are your soft limits? You're not going to know that unless you do research to figure out, what are these kinks? What are these fetishes? What is required of me as a dom? You know, what do I need to put into this to make it a successful session, whether it's in person or online? You have to find out all these things. And then, you know, you have Kinktionary. When I tell you the different terminology,
listen,
it is beyond me. Okay. This
beyond.
I just posted one the other day. It's called Denimatrix. And that's when someone gets off and they're aroused by, you know, a female dominant wearing denim jeans, denim tight jeans. I said, you mean to tell me I could have gotten paid for this? And I didn't even know. You
it's
know
a how word and a term for everything. I literally be Googling sometimes. Like I asked last week on like, what are your kinks? And then some of the words people were putting in there, I said, I don't know what this is. I'm in there like, oh.
heard of it. Let me do my research. Yeah.
Like, I did not know this one. Okay, I know that one. I don't know this one. Like,
right. And I love that. And this is why I love that you have that space, right? Because you are still in a space where you're willing to learn. So you're asking, and even the things that you're not aware of, you're taking the time out to actually go figure it out. You know, so the next time.
Okay. Oh, I know what that is. Yeah, I want to know. I just have this natural curiosity about things. So when people say stuff, I'm like, what the fuck is that? But I'm going to go look it up. And I may go hop down a rabbit hole, right? And so I'll follow back up. Now, how did you know you were into this? Or tell me about the time you did this, because now I need to see it. Thankfully, I have an audience where most times they feel free to share. And then I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. But
I love the sharers. Woo, I love the sharers.
I love it because I'm like, that's how I learn. So, but yeah, I am floored and amazed at the things that people are into and what's out there. The realm, it's like so many possibilities. And some of it is very niche, right? Like, that ain't going to be for everybody. But like you said earlier, some of it is like, you like big booties. All right, that's your thing. True. So, yeah, that is crazy to me. But I love that when you're teaching too, that you're telling women, like, you just have to find the balance, or, you know, whoever takes your course, like, you have to find the balance of what's important to you and how you build this business. Because at the end of the day, for you, this is your business. Like, this is how you're making money and providing for your family. So I love that, because I've never really had that conversation around parenthood with sex work. And so I'm going to ask you this too, like, because we talked about content and you are now not faceless, do you think, or do you have the conversation prepared that if your kids see a reel one day and they're like, oh my God, that's mommy?
Absolutely. So I'm locked, loaded, and ready.
I think
honestly, my kids know that mama's a little out there, like, she a little soft, you know, smooth edge type of parents. You know, they look at me as the fun, crazy, outgoing, okay, like, bandish. So I feel like if they see like one of the content that I put out, they would be like, okay, like, I didn't know, but it makes sense.
It makes sense. You
know? And then also with me, I'm very conscious of the type of content that I make and the type of content that I put out, because I have kids. So you'll never see content with me ass naked, things of that nature. Like, you just won't see it.
The thing, I know, that's right.
Content, I can wear it in my house and my kids will see it. You understand? I'll get dressed in my house and they'll see it. They'll be like, okay. And there's some things that I may have put on, you know, in between getting dressed, and they're looking at me and I'm like, yeah, this is like a bathing suit. Don't worry about it. And they're like, okay, it's a bathing suit. They don't know what I'm going to do in this outfit. They don't know. I might as well be somebody's ass.
So, like, mommy's going to get the money, honey. Right? I know that's right.
That's where I feel like they'll be like, oh my goodness, that's crazy. However, different strokes, different folks. Everyone takes things differently. I don't know how they would feel, but I am definitely ready to have that conversation with them if it comes up, or, you know, if they feel a way about it, because I have to be considerate of their feelings, right? Because they're kids. They have their friends, and, you know, kids can be mean, whatever, but my kids is tough like me.
I love it.
I
love it.
But I think I'm good on that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. So if somebody who just listened to this conversation with you and they teetering on the edge, like, I got some interest, what would be the first piece of advice you would give somebody before they entered into being a dom and entering into this work?
Please do your research. When I start off teaching, I always tell people, the majority of you all that are taking my course right now is not going to see it through actually becoming a dominatrix. Mm-hmm. And it's not hating. It's not because I'm trying to put anybody down. I try to be as real as possible. Yes, it can be something that piques your interest. Yes, it could be something that you feel like it'll empower you, or it could be a hobby or just an extra source of income. But it is not easy. You have to put in the work. You have to put in the time and you have to be dedicated because consistency is everything. So I feel like before you jump right in, do your homework, because you may find things that you see like, whoa, all of this comes with being a dom. I don't think this is for me. Or you may say all of this comes with being a dom. Okay, I'm accepting of that. Like, I want to see where this goes. But yeah, definitely broaden your horizon and you know, learn the different kinks and fetishes that come along with, you know, being a dom, because they are going to be submissives that contact you because they want a session and you may not have a clue what's going on. When I first started, I thought I was supposed to be just this harsh, aggressive, sit the fuck down, shut up, bitch, give me all your money. And it was not like that. One, the sub got me together and was like, first of all, you're not even my dom. You don't speak to me like that. I'm a human being. And I was just thrown off like, why are you like this? And it was real combative back and forth. But in doing research and in growing, I realized that first and foremost, subs are humans. And unless they express to you that that's their kink, they did not consent to you to speak to them that way. So it doesn't work like that. They have to consent. They have to give you permission for you to degrade them, for you to humiliate, for you to share content with them in it for people to see. Like, you need to have consent. That's why I tell people the things that you see, it may look crazy and outlandish, but these people said, yes, I am okay with you sharing. I didn't just say, oh, I'm a dominant and I'm goddess rule and I'm going to share because I want to do, or I'm going to record you unbeknownst to you and I'm going to share what we did because it's me and it's all about me. Absolutely not. No, these subs are coming to doms and it's a power exchange. They're entrusting you with their well-being. You understand what I'm saying? So you just can't do whatever you want to do. So yeah, when I first started, I was on a fire mission, just cursing everybody out, telling everybody about themselves. And I did not get any hits outside of that one person that walked up to me. And guess what? Me and that sub had a conversation, a normal conversation. He seen me working. He was attracted to, you know, how I dominated the room, how I expressed and explained what I was doing with the toys and what people can do with the toys. And he said, I think that you'd make a great dom. And guess what? He entrusted me to have that session with him. And he ended up paying me. So I had to really scale back and figure out, like, what am I doing wrong? And that's what it was. You can't just curse people out and say what you want or do what you want. No, it doesn't matter what type of content you put out, how you come across to people. It doesn't work like that. There are steps that you have to take, because as a pro dom, this is my job. Yeah. And if I'm booked again, I got to make sure that I'm not scaring these people away before I lose the money.
It doesn't and before we wrap up, like, how many, like, how much of your business is like repeat? Like, is it the bulk of your subs are repeat, or are you constantly having to like, okay, they fell off and I gotta get a new pool to
Subs are not consistent.
Okay.
They're not. Most subs that I've gotten are not consistent, I should say. Because family have, you know, life happens, or sometimes I've had subs that's like, you know, this isn't for me anymore. They start feeling really bad, which a sub drop where you're coming down from that space where you need, you know, this attention or this communication with a dominant, you know, partner or with a, you know, figure such as myself, and they're feeling bad. Like, no, I don't want to pay for this. Why am I paying to feel good? Why am I paying the stranger for these things? So those are just some of the things that I've heard. But different strokes, different, you know, strokes, different folks, it all ranges and it differs, like, you know, but definitely I don't have any consistent subs as of right now.
Okay.
No, that's not true. I do have consistent subs. Okay. I have some, I mean, they, like, you know, they come and they help with like different events and things of that nature. So yeah, I do. However, like, not many. It's rare. They come and go. It's a revolving door.
Gotcha. Okay. So look, now we're at the part where we do the breakdown. I'm going to say a word, and you can say the first thing that comes to mind. It can be a sound, a phrase, whatever. Yeah, it could be a sound, whatever. Okay. First one, Black women.
Powerful.
Yes. Motherhood.
Nurturing.
Seduction.
Cause it's on movement, so.
There you go.
You know, on money. That, some of this.
Oh, we should keep going. Money.
Power, respect.
The keys to life. Okay. Latex.
What does come? I don't know. That one stumped me.
Oh.
Okay. Funny.
That one, that's interesting that that's the one that stumped you.
Right? You know why? It's so many things running. Let's just say latex, outfit. I don't know.
Looks like an outfit. Looks like an outfit. Next one, whips.
Ooh. Pleasure.
And last one.
I like
hugging.
That. Ooh.
Look how excited she got.
So, pegging, I think of owning someone.
Owning someone. All right. Goddess Rue, tell everyone where they can find you on the internet, social media, if you have any upcoming events.
Yes.
Go ahead and go. Plug anything you want.
Okay. You can find me on servegoddessrue.com. If you're on social media, you could go Instagram. Goddess Rue _. Unfortunately, I'm a little shadow banned. So when you type in the words, my name or my picture may not come up, but you got to type in the whole thing. So it's Goddess Rue, Rue _. And right on the page in the bio, I have the links to like all everything that I'm doing, all upcoming events. March 10th, I have a dance class coming up. In March, I'm having a Femdom boot camp where I'm teaching, you know, not the known kinks, but I'm talking about like the kinks and fetishes that you get paid to do absolutely nothing. So this is like the lazy girl work, like 8-week course. It's amazing.
There we go.
I'm literally giving the gems and the tools on how to get the money with doing literally nothing. So like ignore sessions, things of that nature. Oh yeah. Ignore. You like, I'm in my house. I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm eating. I'll just have my FaceTime up and they're just watching me and they like to be ignored. Of course, Femdom financial domination is a part of that.
Yeah.
Pay just for your existence. That is the best thing ever. Right?
The more you know.
Catfishing. So a catfish kink is where they're paying you knowing that you are not the person that you're portraying to be. So you're literally getting paid for nothing. Like, let's get into these coins, you know? So I'm
y'all ain't know about no damn catfish kink.
Girl, catfish kink is a thing. When I found out about that, I said, what have I been doing? But if you go on Twitter, you put hashtag catfish, like you'll see some doms that's promoting that. And they're, you know, putting up other people's pictures and letting you know, like,
that's, you know, thing.
You know, and yeah, they get hit for that. They get it. They make money from that. Mm-hmm. So,
oh my goodness. See, we learned stuff to the very end of this whole little episode.
Well, I tell you, that's why you got to follow me. They got to follow me.
So follow Goddess Rue. Sign up for the Lazy Girl BDSM 101 course.
Yes.
Learn how to make your money. I will link it all in the show notes and on the booniebreakdown.com. So Goddess Rue, thank you so much. This was great.
Thank you, Boonie. You are amazing. I'm glad we got to double back.
Me too. This was so good.
Yes, yes.
All right, that was it for this week's episode. I want to thank our guest, Goddess Rue, for coming on and being amazing and open and sharing her story. Be sure to support her. Be sure to follow her for more information. Also, be sure to support our sponsor, Dame Products. You can use the code Boonie10 to save 10% on your purchase over at dame.com. All right. Remember, there's only one more episode left in this season. Next week is the season finale. And if you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to listen and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, or any apps that you listen to your favorites on. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We appreciate it. Follow us on all social media. Share the episode with those you love, those you don't love, those you fucking hate. I don't make these reels for nothing. All right. Have a dope ass week. Stay healthy, safe, and sane. And thank you for listening. And remember, the ratchet in me always honors the ratchet in you. Home I stay. Until next time.